Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time and this is the place for you and I and all of us here to engage in conversation. Give us a call. 576-7710 is the number to call right now. 576-7710. Good morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, and
Michael Zedek is actually in Georgia right now in away, we are missing him, but he will be back after a while and on a study lecture tour, visiting and speaking. And we wish him well. So
I wonder if he could give us a weather report.
I think he could. Yep. Well, he won't be listening in probably, but he can give it when he gets back. John, what is on your mind this morning?
Well, this past week was National Marriage Week, and I'm sure there was a lot of romance out there, and Perhaps you have some hints, our listeners have some hints or some suggestions on how you've been able to participate in this great sacrament of marriage, the sacrament from a Christian point of view, which is a icon of the way Christ loves his church, the way the bridegroom gives himself to his bride, and where the bridegroom lays down his life for his bride, and where the bride responds to the love of the bridegroom, and the bride lets herself be loved by the bridegroom, because there is that act of laying down one's life and sacrificing and giving yourself totally and completely to your bride. And then there's the act of being totally receptive, open, and to receive the gift, return it. And then what flows from that is a visible sign of this great invisible love between husband and wife in the visibility of the children. And so if you're participating in that vocation and you've got some hints or some suggestions on how we can strengthen marriage, how marriage can be this true Christian icon of God himself that St. Paul calls us to. And one of the ways that this happens is that I found this wonderful article, Bob. I don't know if we've touched on it before, but the title of it is called Empathy as a Key to Romance, and the subtitle is Help from the Four Temperaments. And I remember reading this book called The Four Temperaments, and if you haven't read this book, it's just a wonderful little book. It helps you to more know yourself, because the more you know yourself, then the more you can master yourself. And if you can master yourself, then now you're free to give yourself away. Knowing these different temperaments helps us to build empathy for our spouses, for one another. If you're single, it helps build empathy for others. And it's really important to know that one's temperament can be most strongly expressed when he or she is under stress. And the classic four temperaments are the choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, and sanguine. Two of them are primarily extroverted, the choleric and the sanguine. The melancholic and phlegmatic are introverted. And so often we are working with or in relationships with people, and rather than coming out and being judgmental of them because they're not like us, what this little book does, this little book kind of opens up the idea that all of us have these different temperaments and these different gifts. For instance, somebody who might be a hard-charging leader, well, you have to have hard-charging leaders in some institutions and organizations, because not everybody can lead. But, and then you have to have those who like harmony and peace and cooperation. And so, just like St. Paul talked about how everybody has a different gift, and there's a, this diversity of gifts that the Holy Spirit pours out, and not one of us have all the gifts, but how we have to rely on one another and see the good in, good in each other. And these a knowledge of these four temperaments provides a great springboard for communication. And perhaps one might wonder, I know in my own relationship with my wife, it was a classic example of how opposites attract, because my wife is more introverted than I am, and I'm more extroverted, although I do have an introverted side of me. I really have to be kind of, there has to be some kind of a catalyst which makes me come out of myself, Bob. Mm-hmm. And so most people are a combination of two temperaments, with one being dominant and the other secondary. So if anybody's out there who has an experience or who has been following the teaching of the four temperaments, give us a call. This goes all the way back to Aquinas and before.
What is the origination point for this theory of the four temperaments? I mean, this is a Catholic doctrine done by a Catholic theologian. Or is this Aristotle or Plato or what?
I think it goes back as far as Aristotle.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the it's not a doctrine or a dogma of the church. It's just an observation that people have these different temperaments. I know I've seen it. I've seen it in Catholic literature. I've also seen it in evangelical literature. And to me, what it does, it just brings out, again, an appreciation for other people's basic natural gifts that they have. And it gives us the more we know about other people's gifts and where they're coming from, the more empathetic and more understanding we can be, rather than, again, just being critical because people aren't like ourselves.
Okay. You know, I'm just doing a little bit of research here, and I think that this may go back to Hippocrates, and there was this discussion back then, 400-plus years prior to Christ's birth, before the Common Era, that they were called the four humors. So
for
our normal listening audience, and including me, you know, when you say sanguine, choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic, those need to be unpacked. We may or may not have enough time on this entire show to unpack all that, but it could be, you know, what you're suggesting, that we're a bundle of different emotions and responses, John, and that kind of sensitivity to all the ways that we can be in the world is kind of an advised attitude. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Is okay. That the more you know about people's temperaments, again, the more you can be understanding, and especially when you're working with people and you're thinking to yourself, man, why can't they just be different? Well, they can't be different because they have a different temperament, and their temperament is a different gift. And if you know a person's temperament, it's like getting in a boat that has a motor on it, and you can ride with them rather than fight with them in the boat and on the seas of and the stress of life.
Okay. Has this come up in some of your studies with the diaconate lately?
No, it hasn't. But since it was National Marriage Week,
okay,
I was particularly attuned to how married couples could see one another as gift rather than as a problem to be solved or a person to be changed or conquered. And and what this does, again, the bottom line here is that it fosters empathy, compassion, mercy, understanding of your partner, of other uh-huh. people, so that you can just kind of relax and enjoy the other person's temperament rather than trying to change them.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM at 576-7710. Do give us a call here at Religion on the Line.
KCRO, Kansas City's home of Michael Savage.
They've confused sexual liberation
with far more important liberations. And that's a great, great scam in order to imprison an entire generation, which is to turn them all into sexually promiscuous beings and then tell them to do whatever they want and let them think they're free, and then to hobble them with socialism.
The Savage Nation. Weekdays 2 till 5 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM. Your radio is set to talk. KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Everybody knows the UNCF motto, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But a change last year in the federal Parent PLUS loan program is putting hundreds of thousands of our best young minds at risk, putting college out of reach financially. It's an emergency. 14,000 rising UNCF sophomores and juniors, even graduating seniors, priced out of re-enrolling for the academic year. They need a college education, and we need them to get one. They are our next generation of teachers, scientists, doctors, and nurses, and community leaders. This is Michael Lomax, President and CEO of UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, and its campaign for emergency student aid. These students look to UNCF for the support they need to finish their education. And UNCF looks to you. So go to uncf.org, click on the Campaign for Emergency Student Aid box, and help us help them go to and through college. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in.
McGruff the Crime Dog here, inviting you to listen in on this example of exploitation of the elderly. See how quickly and easily this scammer defrauds his prey.
Hello?
Mrs. Swanson, you're home.
Who is this?
I'm Steve from your bank, and we've had a security breach.
Oh, my.
We're calling customers to make sure your account is safe.
Why, thank you.
If you'd kindly read your credit card number, expiration date, and security code, we can get started.
Oh, dear. I'll get my purse. Give me just a moment.
Smooth-talking right criminals, there. Often able to convince elderly folks to discuss personal or banking information, something they should never do unless the senior initiates the call. The National Crime Prevention Council wants to educate seniors so these scams can be reported to local law enforcement agencies.
Financial fraud can include identity theft, fake check and wire transfer scams, investment and credit card fraud, and online charitable solicitations. Unfortunately, only one in five of these crimes are reported. To learn more, go to ncpc.org/seniors. That's ncpc.org/seniors. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
I knew I was stuck at this kid's house for the night. I decided to just go to sleep and get the night over with. But those guys came into the bedroom and got into a massive pillow fight. Let me tell you, it's not easy falling asleep when a sweaty little kid falls on you every 5 seconds. Even after the lights went out, Raleigh and his friends stayed up. A bunch of them snuck up on me to try and pull the hand in a bowl of warm water trick. Well, that was enough for me. I went downstairs to sleep in the basement, even though it was pitch black. I left my sleeping bag upstairs, and that was a mistake, because it was freezing. I think it was probably the longest night of my life. When the sun came up this morning, I found out the reason it was so cold. I was sleeping right by the sliding glass door, and some fool had gone and left it open overnight. That really stunk, because if I knew there was a way to escape last night, I definitely would have taken it. To read more about the sleepover, check out Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Last Straw by Jeff Kinney. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov, brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
KCMO Talk Radio is Mark Levin.
I'm laughing because the world's going nuts.
Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. This is the time. This is the place. Give us a call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. And you can be a part of it by even emailing us at 576-7710@gmail.com.
And our good friend Rabbi Michael Zedek is away, actually in the country of Georgia, doing some touring and lecturing and listening and sharing, but will be back with us later. We're sorry that he could not be here today, but he will be back. 576-7710 is the number to call. John, we have an email, is that right?
Yeah, Richard emailed us, and he wanted to know, if you look at Matthew 10:34, Jesus indicated that he came not to send peace, but a sword. Do you think he knew that certain individuals would use only parts of their message for their own self-serving reasons and ignore his overall message of love, mercy, and grace? After all, Jesus did say, let him without sin cast the first stone, and he also admonished us to remove the log from our own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's. That was Richard's question, and he submitted it by emailing us at 576-7710@gmail.com.
John, do you have a response before I go?
Well, Jesus said a lot of things, and I think they have to be taken into context. I know when this saying that he came not to send peace but a sword, to me his word that he speaks is a sword that pierces the heart. And it certainly didn't give me peace when I would first read it, because Peter, in Jesus' presence, after Peter threw the net in and caught all the fish, he was on the shore, and Jesus walked up to him, and in Peter's heart, he says, "Oh Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter's first experience and encounter with Christ was not one of peace. It was realizing that he wasn't right with God. Same thing happened to Paul. Paul on the road to Damascus, when he was hit by the bright light, the lightning of Christ that pierced his heart and made him blind, humbled him. And so the Word of God is this sword that is very powerful. By the Word of God, the creation of the world came about. By the Word of God, in the Catholic Protestant tradition, God's Word is honored. It is read at every service. Even in the Jewish and in the Muslim tradition. And so we get to know the invisible God through the Word. No one has ever seen God. Our thoughts are like an icon of God, because no one can see our thoughts. But then when we speak a word, the words make audible these hidden thoughts. And when God comes, and when he speaks his word through the Jewish books and the Christian books, it has an effect upon us that tears apart and is like a sword that divides the kingdom of darkness from the kingdom of light. And so Jesus uses these metaphors, these parables, because the people don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God or how God works. So Jesus starts with what we do understand in the material world.
Okay, what's the emailer's name?
Richard.
Richard. Richard, I'm going to say something here, and I want you to, if you're listening, I hope that you'll take it fully into your heart and mind. There's no way that we can know exactly what Jesus meant. We just can't know. It lies, as one of my professors used to say, in the bowels of mystery. in the context, this is one of those chapters in Matthew that are almost all the words are almost completely red. That is, by certain editors' estimations, these are words that proceeded from the lips of Jesus and are to be taken kind of seriously. They are kind of a trump card. However, within the chapter, this is probably kind of stealing the disciples, the apostles, for persecutions that they're going to run into and how they're going to have to remain faithful. If you just cherry pick one verse here, another verse here, another verse here, you really never can make sense of it. John was getting at this about when he used this abstract terminology of the Word of God. Well, is the Word of God Christ? Yes. Is the Word of God the Bible? Yes. Is the Word of God also a mysterious kind of presence that is not contained in Scripture and kind of transcends time and eternity? Yes. All yes. It's not one or the other. And it is very difficult, and it behooves us to kind of remain humble when we are trying to tease out exactly what these Scriptures mean. To answer your question just real bluntly and directly, do people use Scripture for their own purposes without regard to context of the Scriptures? Absolutely. We do it all the time. Probably is a word that we need to use more often. Probably, you know, as we would give an interpretation of a certain Scripture text, whether it would be Hebrew Bible, whether it would be in the New Testament, whether it could be in the Quran, et cetera, et cetera, and then use our sense, our minds, history, tradition, and our own experience to try to understand what these Scriptures are all about, and use the Scriptures to try to understand our experiences. John, I just want to throw this into the pile for our discussion this morning. It's a very disturbing development in the Pakistan Taliban, where a cleric representing a portion of that area of the country, the area of the world. I think his name is Maulana Abdul Aziz.
Can you say that again?
Maulana Abdul Aziz withdrew from some talks and then threatened and said that there were 500 female, I believe, suicide bombers ready to act, basically because his side, his perspective that he was representing is not getting their way. We've said this many times, you know, Muslim clerics need to come out and call that evil, which is what it is. If any Christian said that, said something similar or fomented such violence, they would be against what the Word of God, the Scriptures, the tradition, and our own experiences. If you took this little thing, John, and said, I've come to bring peace, not peace, but a sword, that could give some people justification for violence. Is it a metaphor? Is it something, you know, different than an actual sword? I think the answer to that is absolutely yes, and you have to take it into context as you take it within the context in which it was written. We're going to be right back, and give us a call, 576-7710, here at Religion on the Line. Coming up Monday on the show, a couple different Republicans are filing articles of impeachment against Governor Nixon. Do they have a point, or is it just crazy talk? We'll get into that. And the FAA grounded the Valentine's flower delivery drone. Don't they have a heart? All of that, and the media is blaming global warming for a bad winter here and a hot winter in Sochi. Oh yeah, that all makes sense.
Weekday mornings from 5 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio 710. And now 103.7 FM.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Many New Englanders are digging out of the latest blizzard to blanket the area. One storm warning in place for northeastern Maine as the bulk of the snow moves out to sea. Forecasters are watching another developing system.
We're going to watch this storm system on Tuesday. Philadelphia, you could get more snow. You're tied for the third snowiest winter on record, up towards New York as well, all day Tuesday.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. Meanwhile, President Obama paid a visit to California to spotlight that state's prolonged drought.
Even some of President Obama's fellow Democrats say he could be doing more to help Californians dealing with a record drought.
We have a very, very serious problem from the far north of California all the way to the southern Imperial County on the Mexican border.
Congressman John Garamendi says that's why California needs more than the $160 million in federal aid authorized Friday by the president.
Fox Radio's Ron Flatter. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Mostly clear overnight with temperatures falling into the mid-20s by sunrise. It'll be a mild day on Sunday with clouds on the increase, a high of 40 Sunday afternoon. Now we have a 30% chance for a few rain showers late Sunday night and into Monday morning. Otherwise, expect a warmer day on Monday with a high around 50. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Tom Walks.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Your fairy godmother?
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in for you.
Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is KCMO Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7. Cutting through liberal bias with a Fox News laser. KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio. 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time, this is the place. Pick up the phone and call and be part of the conversation. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning here at Religion on the Line. 576-7710 is the number to call. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. And you can be a part of the show by either calling 576-7710 or emailing us at the same number at gmail.com.
And 576-7710 at gmail.com is the email address, and we've already had one, and now we're going to
I just wanted to comment on what you said. I thought your interpretation of that was excellent, that Jesus talked about not so much maybe what's taking place inside of us, but when he sent the apostles out, he tells them, you know, expect troubles.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's ever been in the ministry, anybody who's ever taken a risk and gone out into the world and talked about Jesus knows the troubles that do come, and that you, you would think. This was one of my biggest surprises, Bob, was that when I decided and said to myself, my way of life isn't working, I'm going to try Jesus' way, I thought I would get peace and accolades and people saying, way to go, John. I just got trouble. And so I was just, but in the midst of the trouble, I also got the consolation of the Holy Spirit. Because one cannot do this on their own without consolation, without affirmation from God who lives inside of you. And when that affirmation and consolation comes, you can stand up to anything because his love is so powerful, his joy is so real that it melts the sword and the persecution, even to the point where there's the story of St. Lawrence, who, when they were frying him for not handing over the treasures of the church, instead he brought the poor people as the treasures. And when they were roasting him at the stake, he says, I'm done on this side. You can turn me over. I mean, what a sense of humor.
John, this portion of the Bible that the emailer was talking about, the whole or a big chunk of that 10th chapter is framed by an indication that Jesus is giving out instructions to his disciples. And does disciples mean leaders, or does it mean just basic followers? You know, Christ didn't create Christianity. We did, who followed him. Does the whole chapter, including those very, very challenging, strident verses, do those mean everybody who is a Christian, or does it mean does it apply only to leaders? Is it metaphorical or is it literal? All of these things are ways that are aspects of Scripture that must be taken into account. And it would apply, by the way, I believe, to both Muslim and Jewish texts, Hindu and Buddhist texts, all the time. We must take it within context. I appreciate so much Thomas Friedman, who one time said that we're probably going to have continuous conflict among the monotheistic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, for a good long while, because there has been a Judaism 2.1 developed, as well as maybe even 2.5 or 3.1, and Christianity also has developed over time and has had new iterations in its scriptures and its ways of interpreting. Islam is not as developed. This is not to say it's inferior. It's just to say historically it has, it's caught in time. There have been more developments in Judaism than in Christianity, more in Christianity than in Islam. And it takes time for us to catch up to one another in the ways that we engage with modernity, contemporary times. Well, at any rate, let's go to John. John, you've got religion on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I'm not a great public speaker, so this I may sound a little bit nervous, but I'm actually calling about something I heard last week when you guys had a person opposed to same-sex marriage call in. And Michael, I'm sorry he's not here this morning, but he seemed mystified as to why, you know, anybody would be opposed to the same-sex marriage. So I thought I would give a few reasons as to why someone might be opposed to it.
Okay.
Beyond just what people typically think of it, just a bigoted ideological position. But, the primary reason I think that a lot of people are opposed to it is because of the threat to religious liberty that it represents, in that there's a conflation of behavior with something like, race or skin color, something that's unchangeable and immutable. Treating those two things as if they're the same will eventually put the person who's opposed to same-sex marriage in the position of a Ku Klux Klanman, because eventually they'll want me, for example, to teach my child that a homosexual or same-sex marriage is the moral equivalent of a heterosexual marriage, and I could never do that. And my not doing that or teaching them the opposite might be labeled as hate or a crime in some fashion. And I think people have legitimate reason to fear that becoming a reality, because that would infringe upon my religious liberty, my freedom of conscience, which is, of course, one of the basic rights that we have in this country that give many of the other rights that follow meaning.
Mm-hmm. I think, John, if Michael were here, he would say, that's fine for you and your religion. Is it okay if he and his religion have a different perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't begrudge any. Sorry, go ahead.
The other thing is, you know, what you're talking about as behavior, Michael and I are of this pretty similar opinion, if not identical, that in the folks that we know who are gay, this is not a matter of just behavior. The behaviors that they express, their sexuality, are based on the word that is often used in orientation. That is, just as you and I would not change, cannot change the color of our eyes, they experience and understand that they cannot ever change their orientation. They were born this way. Now, the Catholic Church has a pretty easy response to this. You just can't express it. You're born whatever way you're born, and they even admit that there are gay people who are gay by birth or even by circumstance.
Well, we don't say by birth because we don't believe there's a gene for it. So go ahead.
Okay. But
I agree with that as well, though.
And that their civil liberties in the public sphere need to be preserved.
I agree with that as well.
And civil liberties have to do with, this is why, wouldn't it be nice if the state quit baptizing religious institutions and kind of requiring religious institutions and clergy to do the state's work for it? So maybe you did it. You know, the European solution is very attractive. It has been to Michael and me, whereby, you know, you go get a legal document from the court, and if you want a religious ceremony, you go to your religious institution, and the two are separate and different.
That's true, but of course, the state does have an interest in the stability of family and the production of children in stable environments. I think that's the only reason that they really care about marriage at all. But when you say that a same-sex marriage is the moral equivalent of a heterosexual marriage, you're essentially saying there's no necessary connection between marriage and child production at all. And that's problematic as well, because I think marriage is a natural teleology to it. There's a natural, purposeful design that is
very, very pardon me.
It's fulfilled in a heterosexual union. The nature of that union is such that it provides for the next generation. It's not fulfilled in the same-sex union. And let me just make clear, I agree with most of what you said. I just don't think that I don't begrudge anyone their ability to have legal arrangements, to have them treated in the way that people that are married get treated, or be able to have ceremonies in their own religious institutions or however they want to do that. But calling it marriage is the problem that I see, because you're essentially defining marriage into something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like calling every four-legged creature a cat. Well, what would a cat be if you did that?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to find some other name for it. And I think the same is true with marriage. You're going to have to find some other name for the actual institution.
Well, everyone's
trying to co-opt it.
We're very good at creating new nomenclatures and the development of history, and that's what human beings do. Lewis Thomas said, what do anthills build? They build ants build anthills, and what do human beings build? We build language. It's a very dynamic reality, and I think that's part of what is happening is, you know, Michael Sam announced to the world that he's going to be the first openly gay draft possibility in the NFL, and there's been a lot of people weighing in on that. Several states have struck down laws in the civic and civil arena that seem to discriminate against same-sex couples. We're going to continue to have this conversation for a while. I like what you were saying. These are not your words, but see if they try them on and see if they fit. A caution against any of us demonizing one another. And
yes.
You're a very rational-sounding person. I think that you and I really disagree on some fundamental premises that that we're just going to probably continue to disagree on. You might have more agreement with John, and we're just going to have to kind of hang in there with one another.
Speaking of hanging in, we got to have you hang in here, John, because we got to take a break.
John, are you done or you want to hang on?
Well, I have a couple of things to say, but
hold on just a moment, and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCMO Talk Radio is Mark Levin.
So now, if you're male and you're white and you're a senior citizen, there's something wrong with you. What is this? You should be arguing, demanding, fighting for the institution of those principles, those conservative principles that promote individual liberty, that promote wealth creation, that promote jobs and opportunity.
Weekdays 5 to 8 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Be honest, will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-958-2423. And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-958-2423. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-958-2423. That's 1-800-958-2423.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $23 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-916-5635. That's 1-800-916-5635. 1-800-916-5635. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Do you have unwanted items in your home or office, or just want to get rid of things you no longer need? Cerna Brothers can help. Cerna Brothers can clean out an entire estate or simply remove unwanted items from your home or office. Cerna Brothers recycles and donates when possible to reduce the amount it takes to the landfill. Cerna Brothers can help with all your junk and debris needs. Call 913-484-9564 or visit CernaBros.com. That's CernaBros.com, your local junk and debris removal service.
This is Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. In Kansas, we protect the security of our elections by ensuring that only U.S. citizens can vote. All new voters registering in Kansas must provide proof of citizenship. It's easy to do with a birth certificate, passport, or one of many other documents. Take it to any registration site or mail, fax, or email it in. If you plan to register when renewing a driver's license, bring your document with you. For more information, go to gotvoterid.com or call 800-262-VOTE. Already registered Kansas voters don't need to do anything. Just don't forget to vote.
I have two cats and two dogs. All four of them are on the Dynavite. This stuff is amazing. The first day that I gave Sweet Pea and Daisy the Dynavite for cats, I did add a little bit of the Lick-A Chops, and they absolutely loved it. All the vitamins, the minerals, you know, they also enjoyed the num-nums, the nub-nubs or whatever they're called, the treats that also came along with it.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
They're just running through the house. They're playing. My Sweet Pea will walk in front of me. She'll stop where she's at, drop and roll onto her back, and then expect me to rub her belly. Just like a kitten. Daisy and Sweetie have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again. Oh, I'm sorry. I wish they would make a product for us humans to give us the same amount of energy and gunk that Dynavite for cats are given for my cat.
The phone number is 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
The KCMO Morning Show.
He was not president, and he has not been presidential.
Greg Knapp, mornings 5 to 9 on KCMO. Talk Radio 710, now on FM at 103.7.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. This is Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
John Perk of the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph. And you can be at the third part of the show by emailing us at 5767710@gmail.com.
And a word of commentary, Rabbi Michael Zedek could not be with us. He normally would be on the other, at the tail end of that, and also, but he is away and will be back later. We're sorry that he could not be here this morning. He sends you greetings, everyone, and we've been talking to John, and the John here in the studio wants to talk to that John and respond to what you've said.
Well, John, I think what I heard in the beginning of the call was that the issue for you is religious freedom, because if many of us don't buy into this redefinition of marriage, which comes originally from God's word and the natural law, then we end up being the bad guys. We end up being the ones who are homophobic, who are the ones who are intolerant. Well, I don't accept that dialogue and that language. There are those who are Christophobic and intolerant of God's law. And those of us who stand up for what marriage is, the way you defined it, as a union between man and woman for the procreation and education of children, this is culturally a way of life that has succeeded for thousands and thousands of years. This new idea of redefining marriage as just based upon one's friendship or one's attraction to somebody else and acted out in ways that God has said are displeasing in His Word could never be defined as marriage according to His Word. Now, I think you hit it very well. If people want to call it something else other than marriage, for what? So that they can pass along their inheritance without taxes, something that's based upon friendship. And in regards to the colors of one eyes, if somebody has a different color, there still are prohibitions with the use of your eyes. Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. And we don't tell people, just go ahead and look at the sun because your eyes are going to be burned out. And so there are certain standards that lead to happiness. There are certain laws. When the Jewish people came out of Egypt, they were given the Ten Commandments. To go from Egypt to the Promised Land is approximately 400 miles, approximately the same distance to go across the state of Kansas. Well, if you go 25 miles a day, you could travel from Egypt to the Promised Land in 16 days. And that was God's intention, was to give the people the law so that they could get to the Promised Land, get in shape, and be fit enough to receive the wonderful gifts and graces that He wanted to give them. But they rejected His law, and they just went in the desert for 40 years, and that generation never did get to the Promised Land. And so the interstate highway to union with God to the Promised Land is following His laws. And there is nothing in His Word that redefines marriage to be what this current generation wants to redefine it as. And as a consequence, we're going to be persecuted by those who want it redefined for standing up for God's law.
You know, I think, John, is that that echoes your position, right?
It does, largely, yeah.
Okay.
Well, the last thing I wanted to say was, an admonition to those who agree with me, particularly to the gentleman that called last week. When we talk about these issues, this is a very emotional and very complex issue. We have to be informed, and we have to be able to talk about this issue without beating someone over the head or hurting them at the first time we open our mouth. And the guy last week, I think his only real comment about the issue was he thinks it stinks. And I'm just going to say to people, that kind of stuff is unhelpful. We need to be informed, and that's not something that comes natural to a large part of the church. We don't spend a lot of time trying to be thoughtful when we have conversations with those who disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert, I'd like to just thank you for hearing me out. Even though we disagree, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to have the conversation, and I wish you both the best today. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Okay. Thank you very much, John. John, do you have enough coasters?
Yeah. I had some from like 3 or 4 years ago when I called in, but
well,
I don't have any
new ones. Let's have you get some new ones.
You only call in every 3 or 4 years?
All right, John. Here you go. Nobody had mentioned, but 2453, the House bill in the Kansas legislature is processing now, and there's a lot of stuff that has to do with religion as a motivation for some of the civil actions, presuppositions, penalties, restriction of rights, et cetera, that are behind that. And if you want to talk about that, give us a call, 576-7710, 576-7710.
Many see the Kansas bill, although how it's written is probably is way too onerous to those who have same-sex attraction. But the ultimate goal, I think, is what John was talking about, is that we should be protected with religious freedom. For instance, if you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman for the procreation education of children, and if you own a small motel or hotel and you don't want to rent rooms to teenagers or to single adults who aren't married, then you can't run your business that way. If you don't want to participate in a redefinition of a marriage ceremony that violates your religious beliefs, there's lots of people out there where people can get service at florists, at wedding planners.
I do think, John, you got to watch this. With regard to the race issue, public accommodations and businesses that do business in the civic community arena were restricted from imposing their personal views. For example, an interracial couple cannot be denied service at they can be sued at a B&B. They can be sued at a restaurant that does not want to serve them because they don't believe morally in that kind of action.
That should have been overturned because you had the basic raw material, a man and a woman together to exchange their vows, who had the possibility of having children. Here you don't have that. So I don't buy the interracial couple analogy to this.
Okay. All right. You don't have to. And the thing about raising children, I know lots of same-sex couples who have adopted children, who have had fertilization and had biological children. And that's another can of worms that we can open up after the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some news, pay some bills. You give us a call here, 576-7710, 576-7710.